is Radio Superior 1942, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1942. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1942. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
It's 6 o'clock standard wartime on this pleasant Wednesday evening, August the 12th, 1942. Broadcasting from the KUWS radio studios in Superior, Wisconsin, the land of beautiful lakes. Jack McKenna speaking. Newsman Lou Martin is standing by now with the latest war news from Guadalcanal. Coming up, live from the Tri-State Fair in Superior, death-defying stunts with Colonel Raffaele. Now, Lou Martin with the Tri-State Fair 6 o'clock news.
Wait, stop right there, Jack. You got Colonel Raffaele to take your place at the Tri-State Fair?
Well, he's a patriot.
He's also in the dark. He's in the dark about what he's supposed to do, isn't he?
I told him he'd be the Grand Marshal of the fair, and he can use this to raise money to buy war bonds. So, on with the Tri-State Fair 6 o'clock news. Here's Lou.
This should be an interesting show, good listeners, but the real story is the Battle of Guadalcanal, the United States' first offensive against the Japanese in the Solomon Islands. We have this shortwave transmission from the Southwest Pacific.
Australia calling, General MacArthur's headquarters, Australia calling, Daryl Berrigan reporting. The Allied forces, which accompanied their planned landings in an air, land, and seaborne attack on the Solomon Islands, are under strong Japanese counterattack. But we are holding our own, Australian Prime Minister John Curtin announced Tuesday. Curtin said that American Admiral Ernest J. King's Washington announcement Monday, despite its listing of the loss of one Allied cruiser sunk and two cruisers, two destroyers, and one transport damaged, indicated Allied gains so far have greatly outweighed losses. Admiral King spoke of a large number of enemy planes destroyed and surface units put out of action and referred definitely to the Tulagi operation as our first assumption of the initiative and of the offensive. The Prime Minister's brief statement was the first word of an official source in Australia on the main operations in the Solomons. Communiques issued by General MacArthur's headquarters have dealt only with air support given the invasion thrust directed by Vice Admiral Robert L. Gormley, Supreme Commander of Allied Naval Forces in the South Pacific area. Tuesday's communique told of a third destructive assault in as many days upon Rabaul, main Japanese flank base in New Britain, and attacks on Japanese shipping below Timor, more than 2,000 miles to the west, in which a heavy destroyer and two merchant ships were knocked out. It was also disclosed that Australian land forces were not involved in the Solomon Islands attack, but that Australian naval units participated and Australian air forces were cooperating in the increasingly powerful attacks on Japanese bases. With the Allied headquarters in Australia, this is Daryl Berrigan reporting.
General MacArthur is supporting the Allied fighting in the Solomons with extensive bomber cover. A principal strike point is the heavily fortified enemy base at Rabaul. That's where much of the Japanese supplies and reinforcements are coming from in the battle over the Solomons. As many as 19 Imperial planes have been destroyed at Rabaul, and merchant ships have also been sunk by U.S. air attacks. Air support to turn back Japanese invaders at New Guinea are continuing. The Japanese High Command apparently has its eye on toppling Port Moresby, allowing a staging area to invade Australia. But General MacArthur's Allied headquarters reports bombing and strafing of enemy troops, helping Allied forces to turn back Japanese attack back on the Kokoda Trail. That's just 60 miles from Port Moresby. In Soviet Russia, the situation remains grave as Axis forces continue to drive on Stalingrad and Rostov on the Don. For news of that war front, we hear from this message from Moscow recorded in London earlier today.
This is Moscow calling. This is Moscow. Eddie Gilmore reporting. Russia is convinced that its army will remain intact and that if it loses the Northern Caucasus, it will stand indefinitely on the Volga or, if necessary, in the Ural Mountain. The official mouthpiece of the Red Army, the Communist Party, and the Soviet government appealed to the fighting forces Tuesday to save Russia acknowledging in the plainest words the gravity of the position as Axis armies ground through the smoking Mao Cop oil fields and scorched wetlands there. The fate of our country is being decided in a violent battle on the Don and Cuban, declared Russian Star, organ of the Red Army. It quoted the Russian 18th century general who told his troops, "We are surrounded by mountains. To retreat is shame. We cannot expect help from anyone. We stand on the edge of the abyss." The government newspaper asserted, "The danger hanging over our country has increased. The enemy, despite tremendous losses, continues to rush the depths of the nation. In the name of freedom and independence, the fatherland of your people and your children, halt and repulse the enemy." The Germans' drive into the Caucasus placed the Red Fleet's naval stations in grave danger. Separate German columns are within 60 miles of the Black Sea ports as the Nazi invaders spread out the northern foothills of the Caucasus Mountains and pressed weary Russian defenders back toward the Black Sea coast. This is Eddie Gilmore reporting.
A Reuters dispatch from Stockholm says that the Vichy French leader Pierre Laval has called up police and troops reinforcements to protect his government from a coup. Laval says rumors of a revolt come as he's authorized 1,000 French workers to go to Germany to work in the Nazi factories. The final struggle to end British rule in India may be underway. Riots are spreading through India from Bombay on the west coast to Calcutta on the east coast as followers of Mohandas Gandhi try to force the British to grant them independence. The riots have forced the Ford plant to close, but General Motors plant in Bombay remains open. 26 people have died in the riots so far. Tri-State Fair News Time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has a word from our sponsor.
Thank you, Lou. Indeed, it is Tri-State Fair time of the year, folks. We all love to hear that word. For the ladies, you'll enjoy the beautiful garden and floral exhibits, and don't miss the women's building with its canning, baking, and sewing displays. And for the men, you'll want to see the first-class livestock, poultry, and agriculture exhibits. And then there is the very interesting Wisconsin Conservation Show. And we don't leave out the kids, no sirree. We don't have to tell you much about the 4-H Club work. We know you'll like the displays. And don't forget about Children's Day. For everyone, it means fun. Two grandstand shows nightly. Big salute to victory with a cast of 60 stars from stage and screen. Bernie Cummins and his orchestra. Jimmy Lynch and his Death Dodgers with chills, thrills, and splills. Splills? On the Midway, the Johnny J. Jones shows and Clyde Beatty and his wild, wild animals. And then the Model Railroad show as well. How much does it cost, folks, to go to the Tri-State Fair? Well, you may be surprised. The gate admission, just 20 cents, including tax. Grandstand, the big shows, 55 cents. And free parking with a lighted lot with courteous attendance. That's August 10th through 16th at the Tri-State Fair. Don't you dare miss it.
The strike at the Cleveland Graphite Bronze Plant has shut down two plants that make parts for Allied warplanes. 4,000 union workers, half of them women, have walked off the job to protest what they call arbitrary and ironclad rules, making working conditions impossible. The War Labor Board opened hearings on the grievance yesterday. Closer at home, the Superior School Board voted an emergency raise of $12.50 for every teacher through the end of the 1942 school year. The board noted higher prices since the war began. School Superintendent Angus Rothwell is also having to fill several vacancies before the new school year begins September the 1st. Central High School teacher Harold Camp is reporting for the Army, one of several teachers leaving to serve our country. The school board confirmed Ivor Hogland as Dean of Boys at East High School, Miss Ernestine Seiler as Dean of Girls. Miss Margaret Spielmacher will be head of mathematics at Central High School.
Miss Spielmacher will make sure everyone knows their geometry and algebra, I'll tell you. Where has summer gone, Lou? We're already talking about going back to school.
You know, it's funny, we've been out of school for 20 years, and back to school still sends shivers down my spine.
There's still 3 weeks of carefree summer to romp and play, Lou. And thanks, Lou Martin, with the 6 o'clock news. Now let's check the weather for this Wednesday evening, August the 12th, 1942, from the United States Weather Bureau. Continued pleasant summer conditions here at the head of the lakes. A nice breeze off Old Gitche-Gumee will keep temperatures around 72 degrees tomorrow. I love that. That's comfort. But it'll be warmer farther inland around Minong and Hayward. We're going to be heading to the Tri-State Fair, where our own Don Mason is on hand to witness the thrilling spectacle of Draft Board Chairman Colonel Raffaele riding with motorcycle daredevils in the motordrome. Now on with the mellow tones, music on the Martin and McKenna Show. Here's the Mills Brothers, this year's big hit. Oh, you like this. Paper Doll on station KUWS.
I'm gonna buy a paper doll that I can call my own, a doll that other fellows cannot steal. And then the flirty, flirty guys with their flirty, flirty eyes will have to flirt with dollies that are real. When I come home at night, she will be waiting. She'll be the truest doll in all this world. I'd rather have a paper doll to call my own than have a fickle-minded real-life girl.
I guess I had a million dolls or more. I guess I've played the dog game for and all. I just quarreled with Sue. That's why I'm blue. She's gone away and left me just like all dolls do. I'll tell you boys, it's tough to be alone. And it's tough to love a doll that's not your own. I'm through with all of them. I'll never fall again. Say, boy, what you gonna do? I'm gonna buy a paper doll that I can call my own, a doll that other fellows cannot steal. And then the flirty, flirty guys with their flirty, flirty eyes will have to flirt with dollies that are real. When I come home at night, she will be waiting. She'll be the truest doll in all this world. I'd rather have a paper doll to call my own than have a fickle-minded real-life girl.
We've just enjoyed the music of the Mills Brothers and Paper Doll. Yes, on station KUWS.
Don Mason's on the two-way transmitter from the Tri-State Fairgrounds. Go ahead, Don.
What a fine day it's been so far, Lou and Jack. And what an evening we have planned for you, good listeners. With me is that great local patriot, Draft Board Number 2 Chairman, Colonel Raffaele.
Well, McKenna told me I'd get to be Grand Marshal tonight. He said he gave that up just so I could do it. What a peach of a guy. I've always wanted to be a Grand Marshal. But geez, let's move away from these dang monkey cages. It smells
Colonel Raffaele, did you see the motor drone?
Sure do, Martin. Some crazy guy with tattoos are driving straight up a wall, then turn around in the air and ride right back down. Go figure. What kind of a person would do that?
As a matter of fact, Colonel, I'd like you to meet Jimmy Lynch.
Hey, what happened to the light? Someone's blocking the light.
Glad to meet you, Colonel. Jimmy Lynch, Death Dodger. Here's your helmet.
Helmet?
I don't wear it myself. I already got the steel plate in my head. That protects me.
Death Dodger. Hey, nice tattoos, but I don't need no helmet.
I think you're going to want to take it, sir. Consider this a duty of the Grand Marshal.
You're not suggesting I ride with Jimmy the Godzilla here.
Yeah, it'll be over before you know it. And you'll never forget this ride as long as you live. A lot of folks are going to envy you. Well, especially women. They're always asking to go along with Jimmy.
Where's McKenna? McKenna! Hey, McKenna!
Hey, Jack, I think the colonel wants you to play some music while he gets ready.
Now, just put your arms around my waist and hang on!
No, I don't like touching them.
We'll be back with a live, we hope, interview with Colonel Raffaele as he rides along with Jimmy Death Dodger Lynch in the Tri-State Fair Motordrome. What a brave man, that Colonel Raffaele. Now here's Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra and, well, get it on Station KUWS. Well, the music of Tommy Dorsey, Buddy Rich on the drums, and Milt Raskin on the piano, and We'll Get It, and boy, they got it, on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS.
Don Mason, come in, Don. How's the colonel?
Surprisingly, he's all right.
In fact, he has a strange smile on his face. Colonel, over here, sir.
Old Jimmy made me an honorary death dodger. Said he'll give me a tattoo at half price.
So you're okay, then?
And maybe a little angry at Jack.
Shh, low.
Hey, I've been through worse. Didn't bother me a bit.
Hey, you did all right, partner. I could have done without the high-pitched screaming, though.
Well, that was because of an old war wound, yeah. Hey, you two clowns back at the station, you should have seen the old colonel flying through the air.
Speaking of which, Colonel, I'd like you to meet Kinko and Florenz.
Yeah, they're clowns.
Hey, who are you calling a clown? I'm not the one who screamed up and down the motor dome.
I don't like clowns.
Hey, boys and girls, it's Kinko here with Florenz. Now, Flo doesn't do a lot of talking. He's bashful, if you know what I mean. We're here to tell all of you good folks in Radioland to buy war bonds. Yes, sirree, and buy them today. Oh, we all want to be good nieces and nephews of your old Uncle Sam.
Well, now you're talking my language. That's why I'm here.
You know, I know you'll get Mommy and Daddy to buy war bonds, won't you? And to thank you, I'll throw a pie in the Colonel's face.
I don't think so.
It's for good cause, sir.
Yeah, I did not come here to get pied.
Too late.
Back to you, Jack and Lou, now. Kinko, you might want to get a head start to the clown stand or something.
McKenna is in so much trouble.
The Colonel sounds miffed, Jack.
Hey, it's for a good cause. I mean, he'll remember this day for the rest of his life.
Some people call that a grudge or revenge.
Wait till he finds out about the Lion Tamer Act coming up.
You might want to think of moving or something, Jack.
This is fun, boy. Nothing like the summer tri-state fair. Here's another one from Tommy Dorsey. This is Marie, one of my special favorites, on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS. The music of Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra and Marie on Station KUWS. Now let's head back to this Tri-State Fair, Lou.
Our Don Mason is there with Tri-State Fair Grand Marshal, Colonel Raffaele.
Yes, sir, Lou. It's Children's Day here at the Tri-State Fair today, and kids can get in free when they bring in some scrap metal or rubber for the war effort. We've wandered over to the big tent of Clyde Beatty now, world-famous animal trainer. People are waiting for this courageous man to enter the large cage with jungle-bred lions and tigers.
Only a dang fool would do that. You couldn't pay me enough to do something like that.
Would you be the screaming colonel I've been told so much about then? G'day, my name's Clyde Beatty. My profession, dang fool.
Glad to meet you. No offense about that dang fool remark. He's his own and all that.
I won't take offense. Since you're coming with me into the cage, I admire a man who's willing to give all for his country.
Well, I've been rode hard with the Death Dodger, tattooed and pied. But I'm not going to be on the menu of these big cats. Not this, Colonel. No way, no how.
Everyone in the audience has pledged to buy war bonds on the way out of the big tent. But only if you come in with me.
Can I bring my gun?
McKenna told me you might gripe a little, Colonel, but it's nothing. Just a little dingy-do. You're in and out in 1 minute.
McKenna said that, did he? In just a minute, huh?
I've got my chair and whip. I'll get Leo to open his mouth wide. You stick your head in for 10 seconds, is enough.
I gather Leo is the one with the big teeth and claws over there, huh?
Come with me, Colonel. We already had a big dinner. He chased down a wild dingo out in the field over there.
Did that dinner include dessert? I don't want to be Leo's dessert.
They're out of radio microphone range now, Jack and Lou, and I can tell you that the cage door has been opened and several strong men are helping Colonel Rapley get through the entrance. Mr. Beatty's cracking his whip. I think at the tigers and lions, but maybe at the colonel, too. The two lions and tigers are now sitting on stands, and Mr. Beatty is approaching one lion. I'm guessing it's Leo. Oh, he's poking him with the chair. The colonel doesn't like that either. Leo's opening his mouth. Funny, Colonel Ropley's mouth seems to be opening about as wide as the lion's. Mr. Beatty is guiding the colonel's head into the jaws of the lion right now.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
He did it! Colonel Rapley kept his head in the jaws of Leo the Lion for a full 10 seconds, and equally amazing is how fast he left the cage. Wow, Jack and Lou, I've never seen anything quite like this. We'll be back with a word or two from today's hero in a few moments.
Boy, Jack, moving to another address might not be enough. You might need to move to another state.
What? I stepped aside from this assignment to let Colonel Raffy do it. And look, he's a hero. This is probably the biggest day of his life. Way to go, Colonel. What a fun night at the Tri-State Fair. Let's have some more fun on the radio, folks. Here's Glenn Miller and his orchestra with Moonlight Cocktail on station KUWS.
I still don't think that he's going to think that you're helping him, Jack. Moving to another time zone might be a good idea.
Jiggers of moonlight and as a star pour in the blue of a June night and one guitar
takes in a couple of dreamers and there you are. Lovers hail the moonlight cocktail.
Now add a couple of flowers, a drop of dew. Stir for a couple of hours till dreams come true.
As to the number of kisses, it's up to you.
Moonlight cocktails
need a few.
Cool it in the summer breeze. Serve it in the starlight underneath the trees.
Discover tricks like these are sure to make your moonlight cocktail please.
Follow the simple directions and they will bring life of another complexion where you'll be king.
You will awake in the morning and start to sing.
Moonlight cocktail.
The thing.
simple directions, and they will bring life of another complexion where you'll be king.
You will awake in the morning and start to sing.
The swinging great dance music just for you good listeners. Glenn Miller and his orchestra with Moonlight Cocktail, Ray Eberle, and the Modern Airs.
We go back now to the Tri-State Fair in South Superior with our reporter, Don Mason, on the scene.
And Colonel Rapley, you don't look any worse for the wear. What was it like having your head in the jaws of the death of a lion?
Well, you got to be firm with these dumb animals. Show them any fear and, well, you're a goner. Just like the Hun during the Great War. Show them, you gotta show them who's boss. Could have done without that lion's breath, though. It smelled like I had my head in a big can of Puss in Boots.
But you raised more than $1,000 in war bonds tonight, sir. That's quite a night.
So I'm done being Grand Marshal. No more surprises?
Just enjoy the fair, sir.
Oh, I think I'll go hang out with the Del Rio family. They're the world's smallest adults, you know. Should be safe with them.
Any last words, Colonel?
What? Why? You gonna shoot me or something?
No, sir, before we sign off.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I do. McKenna, huh? Oh, McKenna. You hear me?
Loud and clear, Colonel. You know, you're my hero tonight. I don't think the Tri-State Fair ever had a Grand Marshal quite as good as you.
Shucks. I suppose not. You and Lou, come on over to the fair tonight, will you? There's a couple of guys I'd like to introduce you to.
Well, I don't know if we can get away, Colonel.
Oh, that shouldn't be a problem, Jack. We'll meet you at the Bearded Lady Show, Colonel.
I'm looking forward to it.
Maybe the Bearded Lady will save me. That's it, friends. Head on down to the Tri-State Fair. Where else can you have this kind of fun? We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing. And the Colonel shuts up, and Leo the Lion's not hungry. For Lou Martin, this is Jack McKenna, then, reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
This is Radio Superior 1942, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson, with research by Sarah Dorman. Other performances provided by Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, and Ray Paulson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1942 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Your comments are welcome at 394-8530 or write to us at KUWS Radio, UW Superior, Superior, Wisconsin, 54880. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1942. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.